بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. Last week we discussed Salah is the key to Jannah. If a person wants to go to Jannah, he has to perform his Salah correctly, properly, with perfection. And wudu is the key to Salah. If your wudu is done with perfection, then inshallah your salah will also be perfect. But if there is a deficiency in your wudu, then this will impact on your salah. So very quickly we will go through some of the different etiquettes of istinja, some of the masail of wudu, as well as ghusl, and towards the end we will also cover the method of tayammum. Remember, At-Tuhuru Shatrul Iman. The hadith says, cleanliness forms half of your iman. So if a one should cover his head and feet before entering the toilet. Before entering the toilet, one should recite the following dua. Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khabaith. When a person reads Bismillah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow the jinnats and shayateen to look at his private parts, and Allah will protect him from any harm. So in the name of Allah ta'ala, O Allah, I seek your protection from the male and female jinnat. People often complain of things that are troubling them and affecting them, but then you will find that the major mistake they're making when they're going into the toilet, they're not wearing shoes, or they're not covering the hair, and they're not reading the dua. So then if something is going to trouble you, then there's no one else that you should blame but your own self. Before entering the toilet, one should remove any item upon which the name of Allah Ta'ala or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or any ayat of the Quran Sharif is written on it, such as a ring or a chain. Sometimes people got rings with some names of Allah, or they got a chain with ayat al-Kursi. So you should remove that before going into the toilet. One should enter the toilet with the left foot and leave with the right foot. At the time of relieving oneself, one should not face towards the Qibla, nor face one's back towards the Qibla. So when you're building your house, you need to be careful of this, that don't build a toilet in such a way that it's facing the Qibla. Sometimes you're traveling and you find you're in a hotel or somewhere and that's the situation. So then there you should turn your body a little bit to one of the sides, either the right or the left. So in this way, by you turning your body, you have to use the toilet, but you are not facing the Qibla. Even if a little bit also, if you turn your body, then you will be facing in a different direction. One should remove one's lower garment at the time when one draws close to the ground, so that the least amount of time is spent with the satr exposed. Person is using a low pan toilet, and that is the ideal. The ideal is to try and use the low pan toilet. One should use clods of sand or toilet paper as well as water to clean oneself. So not only water, but with water also you're going to use toilet paper or clods of sand. One should use the left hand to clean oneself. To make istinja with the right hand is impermissible. One should not talk while relieving oneself except at the time of need. One should not eat anything in the toilet. One should sit and relieve oneself. It is makruh for one to relieve oneself in the standing position. One should exercise extreme caution with regards to urine splashes. Negligence in this regard results in one remaining impure, and as a result, one's salah will not be valid. The hadith explains that the one who is not cautious in regard to urine will be severely punished in the grave. So you need to be very careful about the droplets. And especially people using the high pan need to be more careful, because a person is using the high pan toilet, sometimes even when he's passing stool, you'll find that there's some water that splashes up and it messes him. So this is, he needs to be more careful in this regard. And if he's got any doubt, then he should wash himself thoroughly. You get some people even who will like have a shower or something, but you wash yourself thoroughly, and in that way you know now you are clean and it will not affect your salah. One should not relieve oneself at such places which causes inconvenience to others. Example, on a pathway. Sometimes a person is traveling or is out somewhere, then you need to be careful where you relieve yourself. One should relieve oneself in an area which is protected from the gazes of people. Recite the following dua upon leaving the toilet. There's two duas here. One is the famous dua, غُفْرَانَكَ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنِّي الْأَذَى وَآفَانِي. O Allah, I seek your forgiveness. One reason why you seek forgiveness is because you are unable to thank Allah sufficiently for this ni'mat and favor. Allah Ta'ala allowed you to eat. Then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala made the means of dispelling the waste from your body. So you're asking Allah for His forgiveness. Allah, I cannot thank you sufficiently. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنِّي الْأَذَى وَآفَانِي. All praise is due to Allah Ta'ala, who has removed from me that which was harmful and granted me ease. Another dua is also mentioned here. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنِّي مَا يُؤْذِينِي وَأَمْسَكَ عَلَيَّ مَا يَنْفَعُنِي. All praise is due to Allah, who has removed from me that which harms me and kept within me that which benefits me. One should wait for a few minutes after relieving himself to allow the remaining droplets of urine to exit. Some people have got this problem. A lot of people have got it, where even after coming out from the toilet, then there's some droplets of urine. So then maybe a good thing, if you have the problem, to put some tissue or something around your private area and, you know, walk a few steps and then go back and wash yourself properly. And in that manner, you know, you've got no doubts. If you've got this problem, you know these droplets are coming out, then you should do something that puts your mind at ease. Now, if you're just rushing from the toilet and straight to wuzu and straight into namaz, then you start thinking now, you're feeling like something is coming out, it's putting you in a state of doubt. If one has to relieve himself in an open field, one should look for a suitable place that is such a ground that is soft so that the urine does not splash onto oneself, and a place where one will not be seen by people. One should ensure that the waste goes into the pan and one does not mess around it. After relieving oneself, one should rinse the hands using soap in order to remove any bad odor. When using public toilets, one should ensure no inconvenience is caused to others by smoking in the toilet or leaving it in a dirty condition. So the toilet should be clean, like before you used it, after you use it, it should be clean. And then sometimes you also, if you're in a public area, then you should also be particular that you don't spend too much of time in the toilet, especially you're traveling in the plane. Now there's a whole line of people waiting to go to the toilet and a person is wasting time. And there, as quick as possible, he should try to relieve himself and he should try to leave it available for other people to utilize it. So you have to be considerate of others. A person who is terminally ill or hospitalized and is unable to go to the toilet may pass urine in a bottle. Thereafter, the urine should be disposed of. So this is more or less some of the aspects, important aspects of istinja. Then we come to the masail of wudu. Sit on a raised place facing the Qibla. Like you see the masjids now, alhamdulillah, in the wuzu khana, there is a raised place. And then if those seats are available facing the Qibla, so then it's preferable to face the Qibla. So try and face the Qibla. Make the intention for wudu. Recite the masnoon dua in the beginning. Bismillah walhamdulillah. I commence in the name of Allah Ta'ala, and all praise belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Now how easy this dua is. Bismillah walhamdulillah. It won't take you time to learn this dua. But what great rewards. The hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, when a person reads this dua, as long as his wuzu remains, the farishtas are writing good deeds for him. So if that wuzu lasts for 1 hour or 2 hours, he's just getting sawab. How easy it is just to get sawab, just to read this year, Bismillah, walhamdulillah. But sometimes it's negligence. Because of negligence, we do not read these du'as. Cleanse the mouth with a miswak. Miswak of the teeth will be made in a horizontal manner and of the tongue in a vertical manner. In the absence of a miswak, one may use his finger as a substitute. So you're using the miswak from side to side on your teeth. From the right, you'll go to the left. And on your tongue, you'll take it from the bottom to the top. So you make miswak of your teeth as well, and you make miswak of your tongue. If you're just going to speak on the miswak now, and the benefits of the miswak, we'll need a whole session. So just remember, miswak is a very great sunnah, to such an extent that some mashayikh mentioned, as-siwaku shatrul wudu, half of your wudu is in a miswak. So if you make the miswak 70 times, you're getting reward for your namaz. So don't ever leave the miswak. Get 10, 20 miswaks, how many miswaks you can get, keep on in your pocket, keep on in your car, keep in your bathroom, keep in your office, keep everywhere, wherever you can keep a miswak, because there's so much of benefit and so much of reward. One of the great benefits of making miswak is, at the time when death comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to recite the kalima. So this miswak is a very great sunnah. Wash both the hands up to the wrist thrice. So you can also do the miswak with the gargling of the mouth, or if you want to do it before the wudu, because for some people it happens such that maybe the teeth will bleed a bit, so you worry Hanafi mazhab by blood coming out, then your wudu will break. So if that's the case, but otherwise you wash your hands and then you can make your miswak also, that's fine. Gargle the mouth thrice by taking 3 handfuls of water with the right hand. One should gargle thoroughly, allowing the water to reach all parts of the mouth. Place water into the nostrils with the right hand, and if there is a need to cleanse the nose, one should use the small finger of the left hand. So you use this finger here to clean your nose, if the need be to clean your nose. One should exercise caution when gargling the mouth and rinsing the nose while fasting, in order to avoid water going down the throat or nasal passage, thus causing the fast to break. If you're fasting, then you need to be careful. Because now if water goes down your throat or it goes down your nostrils, then your fast will break. Recite the following dua during the wudu or after the wudu. One problem many people have is they're making wudu at home. And in most instances, the bathroom and toilet are together. So what do you do about the duas? So what some ulama mention is that if there's a distance, like say you've got your toilet on one side and then you've got your sink on the other side, so there is a bit of a distance between the two, then in that situation, you can still verbally make the dua in the bathroom. It's fine, because it's one is like you got your toilet right there and the sink is right next to the toilet. So right next to your pants. So now that's now you're right by the toilet. So it's going to be disrespectful to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. But if it's like a distance and this is on one side and that's on the other side, then it's fine. You can read, verbally read it. Otherwise, before you go into the bathroom, you read Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. And while you're making wudu, this dua, you read this in your mind, in your heart. When you come out, you read this dua, and then you read the dua for the completion of wuzu. So this is also a very beautiful, comprehensive dua. Remember, dua is something that at no point should you feel you've got sufficient of it. And that's the beauty of our deen and our shariat. It teaches you the duas also too. Allahumma ghfir li dhambi wa wasi'li fi dari wa barik li fi riski. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Make my house spacious for me. You know, when you're saying, make your house spacious, make your house comfortable. People want to run out of their houses now. We have come to that point now, where people want to just run away. They're just waiting for the first opportunity to go for a holiday. So Allah Ta'ala must make our homes spacious, comfortable, happy. You know, we at ease within our homes. And wabarik li fi riski, the solution to all the financial problems worldwide, globally, is barakat. You're looking for more. But more important than looking for more is ask for barakat. And here this dua got it. Imagine now 5 times a day you're making wuzu, 5 times a day you're making this dua. Definitely the dua is going to be accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at some point is going to accept that dua. And you're going to get that barakat. So make it a point of learning these duas. Wabarikli fi rizqi. Wash the face thrice. The procedure of washing the face is to take water in both hands and pass it gently over the face. The face has to be washed from the forehead to beneath the chin and from one ear lobe to the other. So from here you're going to start, you know, where your hair starts growing, right on the top here of the forehead, and then you come right to the bottom below your chin, and from this earlobe to that earlobe. And you're going to wash it properly, thoroughly. You're going to make sure the water reaches everywhere in the corners of your eyes, this part here, the side here, everywhere it has to be wet. So this is very, very important. Remember, take your time and make wudu, but make a thorough wudu, make a wudu that, you know, you have no doubts after that. Every single spot, you know, there mustn't be even to the extent of a needle head, that amount also, that must be dry. So you'll wash it thrice, then make khilal of the beard. After washing the face thrice, make khilal of the beard. Khilal of the beard should be made by passing wet fingers through the beard from the bottom, that is from beneath the chin. Now, after you wash your face, the sunnat method is to take a little bit of water in your hand, and then you put it here, and then you make khilal. You can either do it this way, or you can do it this way. Both ways are fine. But when you're making khilal, you'll make of the middle as well as you'll make of the right and you'll make of the left. So that's the method of khilal. You take water in your hand, you put it here, and then you make the khilal, right? So here they've also explained the masla. It's important to understand this. Khilal is sunnat for the one whose beard is thick and the skin beneath the hair is not visible. If the beard is thin and the skin beneath the hair is visible, then in this case, khilal of the beard is not sunnat. Instead, it is necessary to make the water reach the skin of the face when washing the face. If it's the beard is thin, then you have to wash it in such a way that the water goes right in. If the beard is thick, the water doesn't have to go right in. You'll wash the surface, obviously, and then you'll make khilal. The sunnat is to make khilal. But remember, in ghusl, if you're taking ghusl and it's a farz ghusl, then whether your beard is thick or whether your beard is thin, the water got to go right in. So in ghusl, the masla is different. Then you have to make sure the water reaches the skin right inside your beard. Wash the hands, including the elbows, thrice. It is mustahab to commence the washing of the hands from the fingers going up to the elbow. So you start from here and then you go right up to the elbow. So you include, remember, make sure your elbows are washed properly, thoroughly. And in fact, it's also preferable to even go a little bit above the elbows. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he should make wuzu, then he should take it right to the armpits. That's how much he should wash. So someone asked him, and then he mentioned that because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, all that area that the wuzu water touched, it will be shining on the day of Qiyamah. So I want my adornment on the day of Qiyamah to be more. But however, ulama do mention, it's preferable to at least watch a little bit more above the elbows. Make khilal of the fingers. After you wash your hands, including the elbows, both hands, then you make khilal of the fingers. In some of the old kitabs, for some reason, there was an error that the khilal must be done after the masah. But the right time for the khilal is after washing the hands. And the method of khilal is you'll take your left hand and put it through your right hand. Both the hands will be wet. And you'll do this. And then you'll take your right hand and put it through your left hand. So khilal is also a sunnat. Khilal will be made through passing the fingers of the left hand through the fingers of the right hand, and thereafter passing the fingers of the right hand through the fingers of the left hand. Make masah of the entire head once. So you'll take water now, after you wash your hands, you made your khilal, take water in your hands now, you wet your hands, and you'll make masah of the entire head once. The method of masah is that one will take both hands and pass them over the entire head, starting from the front of the head, moving towards the back of the head. So this is the easier method, and the preferable method is you wash your hands and you make just take your hands like this and you pass it right to the back. That's it, your masah is done. There was another method that's mentioned in some fiqh kitabs, and some of the older people perhaps they learned that, which is also fine, where you take three fingers and then you go like that to the back, and then with your palm you come back front. So that method is also fine. If someone makes it, you're also making masah of the entire. But the preferable method, which most of the jurists had given to, and even easier, is the first one, where you just wet the whole hand and you pass it till the back, and that's the masah. Remember, quarter of the head masah is faris, and the whole head masah is sunnat. Make masah of the ears. When making masah, one should use the index finger to make masah of the internal portion of the ear, and the thumb to make masah of the external portion of the ear, behind the ear. So after you made masah of your head, then your fingers, you will make masah inside your ears, like this. So you're going to use your index finger, then you're going to use your thumb for the back of your ears, and you make masah of that, right? Make masah of the nape by using the back part of the fingers. Masah will not be made of the neck. Then you make masah of your nape. There's so much of benefits they mention of putting water here on your nape. So after you finish make masah of your head, you made masah of your ears, then you make masah of your nape. Not of the whole neck now. You won't make of the front. Just the back. So masah of the nape is also sunnat. Wash the feet, including the ankles, thrice. It is mustahab to commence the washing of the feet from the toes going up to the ankles. So that also, you start washing from your toes and then you go up to your ankles and you make sure you wash your ankles properly. Make khilal of the toes using the small finger of the left hand. So you're going to use this finger. One should commence with the small toe of the right foot and end with the small toe of the left foot. So you'll make it in order, basically. You'll start with the small toe of the right foot, and then every toe you'll make khilal, and you'll come to the left foot in this manner. After you made your wuzu, recite the shahada as well as the masnoon dua. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin. You read the words of shahadat. O Allah, include me from amongst those who repent excessively, and include me amongst those who are extremely pure. Now the hadith says, this also is such a simple, easy dua, but when the person reads this dua, then the eight doors of Jannah are open for you. Now you've made your wuzu, you read this dua, eight doors of Jannah are open, that you will get entry into Jannah from whichever door you wish. So make sure you read all these duas. Make wudu in sequence. Gargle your mouth, put water in your nostrils, wash your face, etc. Wash the right limbs before the left limbs in your hands. You wash your right hands first, then your left hands. Rub each limb thoroughly to ensure that water reaches each part of the limb. The secret of getting the wudu right is you have to rub. The more you rub, the better it is. Then you'll find that the water reaches very well. If you're just going to pour the water, it may not reach properly without you rubbing. All the limbs should be washed one after the other without any delay in between. Someone making wudu, first wash his face, then he wants to start talking. So that's against the sunnat method. The sunnat method is do it in quick succession. Do not speak of worldly affairs while making wudu. Now you see this wudu, because you're already preparing yourself for salah, your focus has to already be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, already on the akhirat. That is why there are certain du'as that are not mentioned here. They are not masnoon du'as. They are not sunnat. We haven't come across hadiths which mention them. But ulama recommend them. Like you gargling your mouth. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika. Allah ta'ala assist me to make your zikr, to make your shukr, to make your ibadat. Help my tongue to make tilawat of the Quran. You're putting water in your nostrils. Allahumma. Arihni ra'ihat al-jannah. O Allah, let me smell the fragrance of Jannah. Don't let me smell the fragrance of Jahannam. You're washing your face. Allahumma bayyid wajhi yawma tabyaddu wujuh awliyaik. Allah, brighten my face on the day that the faces of your friends are bright. You're washing your hands. then you're making dua, Allah Ta'ala, bless me with my book of deeds in my right hand. You're washing your left hand, Allah Ta'ala, save me from getting my book of deeds on the day of Qiyamah in my left hand or from behind me. You're making masa of your head. Allahumma dhillani tahta zilli arshik. O Allah, give me shade under the shelter of your arsh on the day when there's no shade but the shade of your arsh. You're washing your right foot. Allahumma thabbit qadamiyya ala siratika al-mustaqim. Allah Ta'ala, keep my feet firm on the straight path. You're washing your left foot. Allah Ta'ala, save me from falling when I have to cross the pul sirat, the day when people, the hypocrites, they will be slipping and they will be falling in Jahannam. Save me from falling. So you're reading all these du'as. You're already focusing on the akhirat. As though you left the dunya behind now, all your business and everything, you left it behind. Now you're focusing to the akhirat. You read this, it's going to enhance your concentration. Do not waste water while making wuzu. So we brought this here. This is the amount of water that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would use for his wuzu. And if you look at the cover of this fan folder, you will see a picture. This is called a mud. So you see the picture, and it's also, we have got the measurement there. 775 mls. There is another view, and perhaps there was another mud in that time, that it was 1 liter. So that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wuzu was 1 liter of water. When you waste water, the immediate effect is the spirituality and the concentration of your salah is affected. You're wasting water, immediate effect. Don't expect that salah to bring about that type of results because you're wasting water. And the ghusl of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was 4 to 5 of this. So if you go at 775 mls, that means it was 3 to 4 liters. If you go with 1 liter, then it was 4 to 5 liters of water Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made ghusl. So you have to, you know, train yourself, but the secret is when you rub your things properly, you will not use a lot of water. Because a little bit water, but you're rubbing it properly, you're rubbing it thoroughly, you're rubbing it over your entire body if you're making ghusl. So this is just to show you the wuzu of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So do not waste water while making wuzu. If any part of a limb which is fard to wash in wuzu is left dry, the wuzu will be incomplete. After wuzu, it is sunnah to perform 2 rakats of salah, which is called tahiyatul wudu, provided it is not a makruh time. In the Hanafi mazhab, we say you cannot do it in a makruh time, like after fajr till sunrise or till ishraq time, after asr till maghrib, or any other makruh time, the time of zawal, sunrise, sunset. Sunnats of ghusl: make the intention to wash off impurities and become pak. If the satr area is covered, then you should recite Bismillah before commencing. Person's got a lungi or something, then he'll read Bismillah. If it's not, then he can read it in his heart. Washing the hands up to the wrists, washing the private parts, whether they have impurity on them or not. Making wudu before washing the entire body. Sunnah to make wuzu. First you make a proper wuzu. Pouring water on the head thrice. Remember, there's 3 farz in ghusl. Gargling the mouth, putting water in your nostrils, and washing your entire body. You can bath for 1 hour or 2 hours. You can use all the shower gels and all the shampoo. If you do not gargle your mouth thoroughly and put water in your nostrils, your ghusl will not be done. You will be napak and impure. If it's a farz ghusl, you have to take. So be very particular when it comes to this. So making the entire wudu is sunnat, but remember, gargling the mouth and putting water in the nostrils, that's like from the farais of ghusl. Pouring water on the head thrice, pouring water over the right side of the body thrice from top to bottom, pouring water over the left side of the body thrice from top to bottom. If you're in a shower, then you first will wash the head, you'll wash the middle of the body, then you'll wash the right side 3 times, you'll wash the left side 3 times. Rubbing the body when pouring the water to ensure that the water reaches every part of the body. Do not use so little water that you will not be able to perform the ghusl properly, but not wasting water. Also not facing the Qibla. Remember your bathroom as well, not facing the Qibla. Performing ghusl in a secluded place where you will not be seen by anyone. So this is more or less the method of ghusl. Just going to quickly go through the method of tayammum. Remember, in tayammum, niyat is farz. You have to make an intention that you're making tayammum and you're purifying yourself to perform salah. So make intention and recite Bismillah. Sometimes a person is in hospital, is stuck on the bed, he can't leave that. And then there's a law of tayammum there for him. Person is traveling sometimes, basically can't find water within the radius of 1.7, 1.8 kilometers. So the law of tayammum applies, right? Remember, the tayammum, whether it's for wuzu or ghusl, it's the same procedure. There's no difference in the procedure of tayammum. It's the same tayammum, whether you're in the state of hadas, you need wuzu or you need ghusl. Press both hands on the sand, stone, dust off excess sand, if any, and rub both hands over the entire face. So you can take a brick, you can take some sand, even if the brick doesn't like have physical sand on it, and you rub both your hands over it. Some say, you'll rub it like this here, you'll pull it front and back, you rub your hands like that, that's a preferable method. If there's some sand or dust on your hands, then you'll dust it off, because you don't want to mess your whole face now. Then like how you wash your face, you take your hands and you pass it over your entire face properly, thoroughly, like how you wash it, like you got water. You don't have any water, but like how you got water, you'll do it properly. Some even say you can make khilal of your beard also too. You'll do that. So you'll do that properly, thoroughly. So that's one time. One strike over the stone, the sand, and then you wipe your face like that. And then the second strike, press both hands on the stone, sand, dust of excess sand, if any, and rub the right hand from the fingers up to and including the elbow using the left hand. Thereafter, rub the left hand in the similar manner using the right hand. Ensure that the skin between the fingers and beneath any rings are also rubbed. So you struck the stone, the sand for the second time. And this is it. It's only your face and your hands. Tayammum. There's no massage, there's no feet, nothing. It's very, very easy. So you did this here, then you did your right hand. You started like this, you rubbed it properly, thoroughly, everywhere, right through. You brought it back here, then you did your left hand, using your right hand. You rubbed it properly, thoroughly, as though you're washing it. You bring it back, and then you make khilal. Especially if the dust did not reach, then you have to make khilal. You can make the khilal either that way, there's no real specific time, but easier way is just to do it after. So you're making khilal of the fingers. And that's it. Your tayammum is done. It's so easy. Sometimes a person's hospital, he can't make wuzu, he's not reading namaz. Take one brick there for him, take one stone, take something for him. And you can even make the tayammum for him. If he doesn't have the strength to make it, just that he got to make the intention. He makes the intention, you make the tayammum for him in his bed, however he can manage, with indication he'll perform his salah. Why must he miss that salah? There's no reason for you to miss the salah and leave out that salah. So this tayammum also, alhamdulillah, it's a very easy, very simple procedure. It's just that a person now, especially if a person is in a hospital, once I went to see when Alim came down from India, he met an accident, he had a head injury, was in ICU. So he was staying in the madrasa, so they told me just to go check on him, see if he needs anything. The first thing when I went to meet him was he asked me, bring a brick for me. I need to perform salah. Man got a head injury, is in ICU, traveling, doesn't know what is going to be the outcome, whether it's got some internal injuries or what. But the concern is the salah. So that should be our concern always, our salah, our wuzu, our tayammum. In the front of this fan folder, you will see a QR code. This is just, there are a lot of benefits of the leftover wuzu water. So one is, you use a lota. It's easy to use a lota. In fact, those days in the masjids, you should find. But 30, 40 years ago, Glennon Road Masjid, they should have the lotas, they have the jugs. So you can fill your jug in the tap, and then it's actually quite easy to use the lota if you learn how to. So that leftover water in the lota got shifa in it. So there's a QR code here. If you scan on this code, it will take you to an article that will show you some of the benefits or some things that ulama recommend, some du'as, whatever to recommend if you're drinking that water for the purpose of shifa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.